Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Ah, here we go on a packed Tuesday. Live in Los Angeles, this is The Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, we're on Fox Sports Radio and right here on FS1. 1 hour from now, our first in-season Herd hierarchy. 1 through 10. 10 best teams in the NFL. I think you know who I have number one. I don't think you know who I have 3 through 10. And Joy Taylor is joining me. 2 games last night.
Great games.
Steelers back. Your Pittsburgh girl. Steelers back. Nice win.
I liked it. I liked what I saw from Ben.
All right.
He looked like Ben Roethlisberger.
He did.
Which
shaggy.
Can go a lot of different ways.
All right, let me start with this. We know what the Steelers are. The last decade, they've been the Mike Tyson of the NFL. Man, they beat up on bad teams. They roll average teams. Mike Tyson did that. If you were average, past your prime, a B fighter, man, you look at Tyson, you're like, he'd destroy the greatest fighters of all time. But when you put Lennox Lewis in the ring with him, he was outclassed. When you put Evander Holyfield 2 times in the ring with him, a great technical fighter, a guy with a chin, Mike Tyson looked lost. That's what the Steelers are. We knew the Steelers were going to beat a new head coach. Do you understand the last decade, the Pittsburgh Steelers against the Browns and Bengals, bad organizations, are 33-6-1. But what are they against the Ravens and the Patriots in the last decade? 10-18. And those are the teams you got to beat to get to the land where the Steelers feel is theirs. Super Bowls. That's what Pittsburgh is about. This is not the New York Mets. This is not the Jags. You know, this is not, you know, the Milwaukee Bucks. These are the Pittsburgh Steelers. This is, you know, looking for the fifth ring, you know, one for the thumb. This is the Pittsburgh Steelers, right? Even last year, they were 8-2 on their third string quarterback, a guy named Duck. And when you're the Steelers and you have great ownership and a great GM and a Hall of Fame quarterback, and they always have great weapons, they always have great wide receivers, and a good offensive line and linebackers that can run over the field, but you have continuity, you're going to beat half the teams on your schedule just because you're not a dumpster fire, and they never are. Last night was classic Pittsburgh. Whoa! I think they're a Super Bowl team. They dominated! Yeah, because they're buttoned up in terms of organizationally. They draft well. They develop players. They do a great job. But then they run into those elite teams and those elite quarterbacks. And you do get in 2020, the AFC runs through Andy Reid, Hall of Famer. Patrick Mahomes, going to be a Hall of Famer. Lamar Jackson, world class. John Harbaugh probably gets into the Hall of Fame. The Giants are not what you got to get through. The New York Giants. New head coach, new coordinator, new system, second-year quarterback in Daniel Jones. Pittsburgh's been beaten up on that for the last decade. That's not the issue. The Giants are a lot closer to the Browns and the Bengals than they are to the Ravens and the Chiefs today. The Giants are a mess. I know what I get from Pittsburgh when they face teams like that. I mean, again, just having their front office and their ownership and Big Ben and continuity, which they almost always have, that's going to a solid head coach and a solid quarterback. You know, you're going to win a bunch of games in the NFL just because you've got your you-know-what together. But the Steelers, 9-7 and out in the first round, 10-6, second in the division wild card, out in the first round. That's not what the Steelers are about. Their standards are much, much higher. Their standards are the Ravens' standards and, you know, the Packers' standards and the Patriots' standards. That's their standards here. And last night, you know what? Last night, my 2 takeaways. The New York Giants stink. And number 2, it's good to have Big Ben back. It's good to have Big Ben back. I'm happy to see Big Ben. Fan of Duck Hodges. But good to have Big Ben back and all those receivers and the Steelers and they're winning. It's Monday night. But Mike Tomlin, he knows the truth about this season and he knows the truth about last night.
I thought they showed their mettle. I thought that they were physically tough, mentally tough. But we gotta do some things better. And, you know, we knew we weren't going to be perfect tonight. We talked about that openly last night in preparation for this opportunity. But there's more meat on the bone, and I appreciate the efforts. We just got to search for a higher ceiling in terms of quality of play.
At least the coach knows. That's the good news. He knows what he saw. He knows what they have to be to get back to a Steeler level, not beating a lousy Giants team, Browns and Bengals and all that NFL nonsense. Okay. So nobody likes criticism. Let's be honest about it. I don't like it. You don't like it. Even constructive criticism from people we respect, we don't sleep well that night. Tom Brady got ripped by his coach. The wording was a little loose for my taste. Bruce Arians criticizing Tom Brady. The wording at the end of this is not real precise. Here we go.
Yeah, I mean, he looked like Tom Brady in practice all the time, so it's kind of unusual to see that in the ball game because they didn't do the things that we didn't get ready for. Everything they did, we thought we were ready for. He knew he didn't play very well, and it's not what he expects from himself, nor do we expect. So yeah, I wouldn't anticipate him to have a little more grit and a little more determination this week.
Excuse me? Tom Brady wasn't determined enough? I don't know if your television set's been working for 20 years. Tom's got issues. He's not the greatest athlete. But the determination thing, I'm going to go with Tom's good on that. Secret practices, helicopters hovering at high schools in Tampa. You got to be careful here. Bruce Arians is loose. His lips are loose. His teams are loose. Last year led the NFL in penalties. The first week, 9 penalties. Punt blocked. That's Tampa. That's Bruce Arians. By the way, Arians admitted after looking at the film, oh, wait, that first interception, that was on Mike Evans. That was not on Tom Brady. It's not a small thing. Arians reminds me a little bit of Brett Favre. Talented, gunslinger, details, yeah, kind of a go-with-a-gut guy. I like Arians. I liked Favre. But you're dealing with Tom Brady, the greatest at his position ever. And Brady is the opposite of Favre. He is the opposite of Arians. He is absurdly buttoned up, absurdly detailed, ridiculously committed, beyond obsessed. I'd be careful about questioning the determination thing. This was always my concern in Tampa. That you had this almost MIT, Harvard-level commitment and attention to detail. You just work. You sleep at the facility. And in Tampa, that's not what they are. It's loose. It's fun. It's tequila at 5:30. I'm not even talking directly to Arians. It's just the organization. I used to cover it. It's not aspirational. It's not buttoned up. Hey, there's always tomorrow we lost a playoff game. Oh, wait, they don't get to the playoffs. Longest NFC drought in the playoffs, longer than Detroit. Jimmy Johnson said this yesterday. The greater the quarterback, the more careful you have to be with the public criticism.
Anytime you call out one of your players publicly, especially a quarterback with their egos, you're going to cause some tension there. And I think it's tension that you don't really need. But, you know, sometimes all of us, you know, the reporter's asking questions, you know, right off the cuff, you want to give them the right answer. A lot of times you shouldn't give them the right answer. Belichick's got it best, you know, owned to Cincinnati. You know, and so, yeah, I don't think it's good to publicly criticize your quarterback.
Listen, Arians basically came out and said, listen, they didn't show us anything we didn't expect. Translation, I got it right. He didn't. Well, my game plan was great. He wasn't. Just got to be careful. Listen, the other thing is people who are driven and goal-oriented and tough on themselves, Tom knows his mistakes. The people you have to get after are the ones like Baker Mayfield who play average football and think they're great and have no humility. Joe Burrow came out this weekend, played darn well. And he's like, I was bad. I don't have to worry about Joe Burrow. I don't have to worry about Brady. I don't have to worry about Russell Wilson. I don't have to worry about Lamar Jackson. Those guys are great, and they're B-plus efforts. They're like, I was lousy. You got to worry about the people who play average and think they're great. Brady knows he wasn't ideal. Brady knows of his mistakes. He's buttoned up. Tampa historically not. I just be careful what I say here. It's a long season. Coming up next, Denver, Tennessee. I know, it was shanking kicks. It was a mess late into the night. But patience is really important. And that game doesn't mean much, but the decisions this morning and after it could make and change an organization. And we'll talk about that coming up.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
GEICO 15% extra credit car, motorcycle, RV policies right now through October 7th. If you sign up by October 7th, that's about 3 weeks away, but get on it. You'll get 15% off GEICO's already outstanding rates. Top of next hour, our first in-season Herd hierarchy. It is great to have you in today. Joy, I just noticed, matches our set. That's amazing.
this is my Pittsburgh, my black and yellow.
Oh, you do that. You're very good.
Yeah,
about
but it
that.
Does match the set too, though.
So listen, Tennessee beats Denver, and all of us sportscaster today could just crush Vic Fangio, who didn't use his timeouts as Tennessee was driving down the field, you know, 80 yards, 12 plays. You're thinking to yourself, call some timeouts. It's kind of, Belichick sometimes lets other teams. Remember the Super Bowl where Belichick didn't call a timeout and he let the Seahawks and Pete Carroll freak out? Like, there's a lot of different ways to do this. Some coaches are like, no, this is hard. Ryan Tannehill's average. I'm a good defensive coordinator. I'm not going to call timeouts. I'm going to see if you can figure out how to get down the field. I could beat up on Vic Fangio. A lot of coaches see the world differently. Belichick has been one of these guys historically is, if your quarterback's not great, I'm not going to use my timeouts. You know, see if you can go down the field 70 yards. Whatever. I'm not going to bang on Vic Fangio. I would have called timeouts. But there's a lot of different ways in the NFL at the end of games to use your timeouts. I don't think you should be saving them. I'll say that. But that game's not about those timeouts. This is about Drew Lock. We are seeing all these great young quarterbacks in the league. We saw another one. Joe Burrow looks potentially very good. That's what this league's all about right now. Do you have a kingmaker? Do you have a playmaker? It looks like Kyler Murray's that guy. We got Patrick Mahomes that guy. Lamar's that guy. Russell's that guy. Aaron Rodgers still that guy. Okay, that's what this league is about. And Drew Lock. That game's not about losing last night. It's about being patient because Denver's got a really good young tight end and two good running backs, and it looks like a potential star at wide receiver. Don't go crazy on last night. Some teams are looking to win the Super Bowl this year. You know who they are. The Ravens, the Chiefs, Seattle, Green Bay, San Francisco, the Saints. This team's not a Super Bowl team. That is not their goal. Their goal is to find a franchise quarterback, and since John Elway retired years and years and years and years and decades ago, they can't find one. They had to rent one in Peyton Manning. He was old and had four neck surgeries by the time he got to Denver. Okay, Denver has a new head. Don't go crazy on this. They got a new offensive coordinator. Their number one receiver was out. Their number two receiver is a rookie. Their tight end's a second-year tight end. Drew Lock's got six starts. Listen, Tennessee's been around a while. They're a good 9-7 team. They're a playoff team. Don't get into the minutia with Vic Fangio. I would have called the timeouts. But last night is about more than that. A lot of teams, 7, 8, 9, 10, they think they can win the Super Bowl. Denver does, but they can't. That's not where they're at. They're not in that space. This is a really good franchise. They can't get the quarterback right. I think they have a chance if they're patient. Now, is Vic Fangio the right guy with Drew Lock? I don't know. You don't have to have an offensive coach. I mean, is John Harbaugh an offensive coach? He's been great for Lamar Jackson. Is Sean McDermott in Buffalo an offensive coach? Nope. He's been great for Josh Allen. Pete Carroll's a defensive coach. Russell Wilson's got two Super Bowl trips and one title. You don't have to be an offensive coach. It would be great if everybody had Kyle Shanahan, but Jimmy Garoppolo has Kyle Shanahan, and sometimes you're not sure if they get along. John Gruden's an offensive guy, and he's brutally harsh on Derek Carr. Sometimes the offensive coach is too demanding, is a perfectionist, and has his own system and worldview, and it doesn't work with the quarterback. I don't know if Vic Fangio's the guys. I would have used timeouts last night, but the fascinating team isn't the team that won last night. Tennessee's got Ryan Tannehill in the AFC. Ceiling low, next issue. They'll go 9-7 because they always do. Vrabel's a very good coach. They can run the ball. They're tough. You know, they'll be fine. The story's Denver. Can they find the next Elway? Now, this is an Elway. You don't need an Elway to win a Super Bowl. You got to be patient. As far as the timeouts, Vic Fangio, is he the future? I don't know. A little old, out of touch sometimes. But here's his explanation.
Well, it was twofold there. One, their field goal kicker had obviously been having his problems. So I didn't want to extend the drive to where they could get closer, number one. And number two, you know, we would have used the timeout, but we got the running back out of bounds. We would have used the second timeout, but they threw an incompletion, you know, which would have given us one left when we got the ball back. So that was part of the thinking there.
Not going to crush him for that. I would have used him. I've seen coaches who I respect who have Super Bowls not use him. Andy Reid's a great coach. His time management has always been the one thing he gets knocked for. So, you know, I would have used him. But I think the fascinating thing is sometimes the team that wins is not the story. Drew Locke with Fant and Melvin Gordon and Judy. And I'm telling you, Denver skill people are young and they may not be on your fantasy team. They got a lot of talent. They have drafted John Elway. You can have your critics of him, but, man, they are ready. If Drew Locke is the guy, watch out, because they are stacked offensively at the skill positions. Joy with the news.
No. Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
Well, the other big story last night, as Vic just mentioned, the kicker, Stephen Gostkowski, had a nightmare game.
Kowski.
For his Titans debut last night, he missed three field goals and an extra point, leaving 10 points on the board. But with 17 seconds remaining, he redeemed himself, sort of, and hit the game-winning field goal to get his team the 16-14 win over the Broncos. What have you done for me lately? That's what this league is, I guess. We're not going to, I don't know. Do you forget that he missed that much? That's a pretty substantial.
Well, it's classic. Belichick cuts game. A Hall of Fame kicker, and he suddenly can't kick. Belichick always just gets rid of a guy. Just everybody else, everybody overpaid for, you know, like Malcolm Butler and Deion Lewis, and he just, Bill
and
just.
And you know what? The league, everyone around the league just keeps falling for it.
Every single time.
Every time. I Belichick must love that. Well, look, he had 14 seasons in New England, three Super Bowl rings, four Pro Bowls.
He was a great kicker. He's a Hall of Famer.
He left the Patriots as the all-time leading scorer.
Yeah.
He is a Hall of Famer. It's just rough. That was something. It was painful to watch.
You know what's funny about that is that nobody really ages well in the NFL. The difference is, like a punter, he shanks a couple and he just disappears into the ether.
Right.
When a kicker ages poorly, it's like, you know, the camera's right on him. It usually is crucial. It
and
looks
nobody
so
has any sympathy for kickers.
Oh,
because
none.
Because you're not doing anything during OTAs and training camp.
Least athletic player.
You just sit out and hang out with other kickers.
Yeah,
and
it's
you're in the shade, and you just got to come in. But then all the pressure's on you, right? Like, we don't see or hear from you until you got to save the game for all
well,
of
we've
us.
Well, we've never done a kicker segment until today, and that tells you. We never talk about the kid in Baltimore is one of the great kickers in the history.
Tucker,
Yeah. We never talk about him. We only talk offensive linemen and kickers. When you screw up is the only time we talk about him.
Entering the game, he'd never missed three field goals in a game. He missed from 42, 47 and had a 44-yard attempt blocked. And he has now missed an extra point attempt in four consecutive games.
Yeah,
so
it's over.
It went downhill quickly. So Odell Beckham didn't shine the way a star receiver should on Sunday. Three receptions, 22 yards against the Ravens, albeit a pretty rough game for the Browns all around. He did have a game-high 10 targets, though, and Kevin Stefanski is hoping Baker can get the ball to their star receiver even more going forward.
I think we got a pretty good feel for Odell and his skill set. I mean, he's a talented football player, so it's our job to put him in position to make plays. We're mindful of all of our players in terms of how they're touching it. There were opportunities early where the coverage took it away or somebody else was open, those type of things. But he's a good football player, so I don't think it's newsworthy that he's a focal point of our offense.
For the record, Thursday night football.
Yeah, it's going to be very good this week. Bengals, Browns.
Baker against Burrow. I'll tell you, this is we said this yesterday. This is where the NFL is different than every sport in America. You and I would never watch bad anything. College football, hockey, Bengals, Browns could end up not being good. I cannot wait. I'm throwing a house party Thursday. I cannot wait for Baker versus Burrow.
You and the dogs?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure they'll be as jazzed for Burrow and Baker as they were for Brady and Breeze.
Listen, everyone was jazzed for Brady and Breeze, best rating since the Super Bowl. But
it's a game. It's a real game.
This is something, and it could go very badly. The Bengals have nothing to lose. If they lose, it's expected. What? If the Browns lose,
after Pittsburgh looked pretty good last night, now.
And they got stomped by the Ravens.
Oh, boy. It sounds overly dramatic. This game for Cleveland on Thursday is massive.
It is dramatic.
You cannot go 0-2, and if the Steelers and the Ravens win, you're 2-0.
It's two division games. You can't go 0-2.
Do I sound ridiculous saying that?
No. You just lost a division game. You have a division opponent on Thursday. The Steelers just won.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, absolutely. This is a massive game for
Baker and the Browns. Must-win graphics Thursday.
I will say, though, man, like, I'm not ready to give up on Odell.
Well,
so can we just get him out of Cleveland? Like, I know Cleveland fans don't want to hear that, but
it doesn't fit perfectly.
It's not working, and I understand that Odell was hurt last year the year, but like, and I don't want to overreact to week one. You only have a couple games to prove me wrong with that statement. Like this, you got to get him going. This is a huge piece to your offense, and whether he necessarily is or not, his name alone demands that he has to be a big part of your offense. Otherwise, he's got to be a trade piece. Yeah. I just think he's a star, and I just feel like he's lost in Cleveland. He's done an amazing job of buying into everything that Cleveland's doing. So I don't think that it's his fault. And I don't necessarily think it's Baker's fault. I just think it's not working.
Yeah, some relationships don't work. It's okay.
Finally, following their disappointing exit in the playoffs, Bucks ownership is showing Giannis they're committed to building a championship team. Giannis apparently met with the owner, Mark Lazary, for 3 hours last week to discuss the future of the team. And Lazary assured him that they are willing to spend into the luxury tax in the offseason in order to build a stronger supporting cast.
3 hours is a long meeting.
That is a long meeting.
That's a long meeting. I mean, I love my wife, but if we're not drinking wine, I haven't sat and talked to her for 3 hours. Like, that's intense. And he also stopped following some of the Bucks on.
Yeah, he followed the team and his teammates on Twitter and Instagram after they were eliminated in the postseason.
He stopped following them?
Yeah.
Okay, what does that mean?
Well,
what does that mean?
I don't know. So it's something. Like, it can't be nothing.
You cannot tell me I'm going to no longer follow any of my coworkers and that there's not some.
Unless you started that way, like unless you're Beyonce and you only follow one person, or don't you only follow Baker?
I used to only follow.
Oh, okay. So you've expanded now.
Yeah.
So unless you, that's just what you do and you don't follow anybody, that's fine, but you can't have followed them and then unfollow them and then say that it's nothing.
Thank you.
But that just doesn't work. I mean, even if you don't, because let's say you're like, oh, like I don't use social media anymore, then just don't look at it. You don't need to unfollow it. You know it sends a message.
Thank you.
So I don't know that I buy into this. Like, I'm not saying that they're not going to try to spend more money, but if Giannis does decide to stay in Milwaukee, and I know that there is a certain section of NBA fandom and obviously Milwaukee fans that hope that he does that.
Yeah.
I am not one of them. The East is not going to look like this next year. I keep telling you this. Kevin Durant is coming back. He's going to be in Brooklyn. You better bring something. It's not going to look the same. The Heat are going to get better. Boston is going to get better. Yeah. Toronto can make moves at any time, as we know. They've already done it. So if you're going to spend, I suggest you be aggressive.
Enjoy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
And I will say this. I've never had a 3-hour meeting in my life that lasted that long where I didn't yell at somebody. I've had a million meetings.
It's too long. 3 hours is too long.
3 hours, we had a disagreement, or we'd have been out of here in 90 minutes.
I feel like we meet for 3 hours every day.
Yeah, two, and it's mostly because we
get breaks, though, where we don't have to talk.
It's something went on in that meeting that wasn't ideal.
It should have.
Okay, so Van Der Esch, good linebacker for the Cowboys, surgery collarbone, out now for probably 6 to 8 weeks. Jarwin, the tight end, out for the season. Okay. This is what happened to the LA Rams. When you got 7 or 8 massive contracts, you have less depth, and 1 or 2 injuries, and the season goes downhill. Last year, the Rams were going to be good, right? They just got to the Super Bowl. Oh, then they have a center, and then they lose a guy in free agency, and then they have a couple injuries, and all of a sudden you're like, Rams can't protect Goff and Todd Gurley. Okay, when you have a top-heavy roster, you're going to have to steal from somewhere else. You can't pay everybody and be deep. And the Steelers and the Patriots have always been very good at this. The Packers, too, that they don't pay a lot of people. And we complain, they don't pay enough people. But they've got a little more depth, and they can lose one player and be okay in Green Bay. And they can last year the Steelers lost a quarterback and then a second, and they were still 8-8. And New England loses people, and it's next man up. The problem is, who's your man? And so the Rams are top heavy. They paid Gurley too much too early. They paid Brandon Cooks too much. Jalen Ramsey, I like him, but they're paying him about 30% more than the market bears. And the Rams, now they've been healthy so far, but we saw it last year. Philadelphia Eagles this weekend, they pay Wentz a ton, Fletcher Cox a ton, Lane Johnson a ton, Brandon Brooks a ton, Alshon Jeffrey a ton. Oh, Lane's hurt. They're disintegrate against Washington. This is what happens in this league. That's why I always say I'm not against players getting paid. Pay infrequently. You pay a handful of stars big money, and then you don't, and then you make tough decisions. By the way, Kansas City is becoming this a little bit. Chris Jones, a lot. Mahomes, I get it, a lot. And then Sammy Watkins, a lot. You better restructure that. And Travis Kelce, a lot. And all of a sudden, you look up one day and you're like, you're a Honey Badger injury away or a Mitchell Schwartz injury away from you can't protect Mahomes. You're playing from behind. He's throwing too much. So this is my knock on Dallas. Dallas, the Rams, and the Eagles have a lot of big paychecks and a lot of stars, and it's great when they're healthy. But Dallas is now one more injury away. Tyron Smith, left tackle. He's great, but he's not built to play 16 games anymore. So now they've lost Gerald McCoy, defensive tackle, out for the year. Tight end, out for the year. Center, gone, retired. Tyron Smith, keep your fingers crossed. Van Der Esch, out for 2 months. They are a Tyron Smith injury at left tackle from being in some real chaos in Dallas. So this is everybody's like, just pay Dak. It's like, this is why the franchise tag was built. Like, you better get that quarterback contract right. You better get it right. And as much as I like Kansas City, you know, Chris Jones goes down. Now you don't have the pass rush. Now Patrick Mahomes is in shootouts. So, you know, I'm not anti-paying players. I'm not. I am for paying your hit makers and your stars. But this is fairly predictable with Dallas. They're one more injury away from, the season's unraveling. All right. Doug Gottlieb is around the corner. Top of the hour, the herd hierarchy. I put so much into this, and I'm so into it. I don't know why the top 10 themes in the league is so interesting to me, but it is, and you hate me every Tuesday, and I love doing it, and we have that, and Doug Gottlieb's coming up next. A lot of different topics.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Herd hierarchy, top of next hour. It is so nice. So we got a great Sunday, and then we get Monday Night Football. Tonight we have the Clippers game against Denver, Game 7. By the way, this just leaked. Brett McMurphy, a reporter, the Big Ten is set to announce that they're going to resume play. We talked about this last week. I heard this last Wednesday. I was told last Wednesday by a guy up the chain they were going to play mid-October. It's been finalized. October 17th, the Big Ten will play. The reason the story got out, Nebraska's athletic director on a hot mic didn't know he was on the mic, let it slip. Nebraska president, my bad. Sorry, the AD was fine. It's the goofy president in the bow tie that screwed up. So the president for Nebraska on a hot mic, boom, and got in trouble. But this is what we talked about last Wednesday. I was hearing from two sources up the food chain of the Big Ten. They were going to resume play. Pac-12 is off sleeping. Whatevs. Not a shock. But the Big Ten's coming back. I feel good for Ohio State. I'm happy for Ohio State. Everybody in their state's playing except the Buckeyes. I totally get the frustration. I'm very happy for Ohio State. They're a national championship team. They deserve to play. They want to play. Kids do, coaches do, parents do. All right. Let's bring in Doug Gottlieb, brought to you by Mercedes-Benz, the best or nothing. So my takeaway on the Steelers last night was, yeah, I know they beat the Giants. They always beat the crappy teams. But did you see a team that's got next-level potential? That's the question for me always with Pittsburgh.
We saw a relatively healthy Ben Roethlisberger. I think that was the big question, right? I mean, it's a lot like the Cam Newton thing. Cam Newton was healthy. We still don't know if he can throw the football downfield or take a beating the rest of the season. But, like, look, Ben obviously looked far healthier than he had last year when he had that big grizzly beard and looked about 50 pounds overweight. So, look, they did what they were supposed to do. I was disappointed in Joe Judge punting on the Steelers' 40-yard line. It's their first year. You'd get a pass if you didn't get it. He was super, super conservative. But I have no sense for the top of the food chain, the Ravens and the Chiefs, what the Kansas City Chiefs will look like. I just know that Ben Roethlisberger, for now, appears to be healthy. And if he's healthy combined with a talented defense, they should have a shot.
By the way, Drew Locke, I'm not sure what he is. I think they've surrounded him with some really compelling parts. What's your grade? What's your takeaway on what you see from the young kid?
Well, look, I do think he's talented. He is athletic, and they're using him the right way, rolling him out. Remember, they didn't have Cortland Sutton. He didn't play last night.
Right.
And you know, Melvin Gordon suddenly has become a big fumbler, at least against the Tennessee Titans, going back to his Charger days. They've given him weapons. The line is better than it's been. But we also have to remember that the score was not really indicative of the game. Okay. Yes, Jerry Jeudy, big drop, which changed the game. Yes, they didn't have Cortland Sutton. But if Gostkowski can make any of those field goals, it's not close late, right? It changed the complete tenor of the game that here normally a very good to great kicker can't make a 40-yard field goal, which in the NFL is like an 85-90% shot. So, especially in Denver. So, look, do I like him? Yes. Do I think they have the quarterback of the present? Yes. Is he the long-term solution? It feels that way. But again, let's kind of take a breath and realize that the Titans should have won by, you know, 6 to 9 points if they could simply make a field goal or an extra point.
Listen, we all know when you're an athlete, you get criticized. We get it. It's part of it. But it is interesting when you're the greatest player ever, and a very loose operator is telling you, I think you'll be more determined next week. Like, Brady's got issues. Determination's never been one of them. I'm on the Jimmy Johnson side. I'm not a huge fan of going after Brady. Arians backtracked a little. And I like Bruce Arians, but Doug, I always feel he's a little loose. I think you take a deep breath. I didn't love the criticism of Brady publicly. Your thoughts?
Well, the big part is publicly, right? All that stuff he said behind closed doors, I don't think Brady has a problem with. I'm not sure Brady actually has a problem with it publicly. It's just the idea of this was one of the reasons that we were told Giselle was ticked at Bill Belichick. Was he treated him just like he was anybody else, not like a superstar quarterback. Of course, she's a supermodel. She's used to being treated like somebody else. So how Brady reacts, and I don't think anybody thinks that Brady played well, especially Brady. The part that bothered me was the arrogant, there's nothing that they did that we didn't prepare for.
Yeah.
Like, that's the, it's not me, it's you. When you're supposed to do the Sean McVay, have you ever seen a Sean McVay press conference?
Yeah.
Everyone looks exactly the same. The players are great. If something went wrong, it's on me. We got to figure it out. And then I'm sure behind closed doors, it's the exact opposite, right? We told you this was coming.
Yeah.
It was odd, but if you ask people in Tampa, this is kind of how he rolls, right? Calls out his left tackle, calls out his quarterback, doesn't really care. I'm intrigued to see how this marriage, this second marriage for Brady goes, because they do run a loose ship. They do commit penalties that they didn't commit in New England. They do, you know, you do have a coach who calls you out in a public setting like a press conference. It is kind of loosey-goosey, and it isn't the same culture he's used to. And there's a lot of reasons that only 33% of the free agents hit. Like, you ask NFL people to say one third of the free agents hit, and you overpay for free agents. It'll be interesting to see if this is a hit or if this is a miss. He is 43. He looked 43. He missed on some throws that he shouldn't miss. And he's playing in the perfect conditions of a dome. What happens when those conditions change? And what happens when now all of a sudden he gets criticism when he doesn't have the equity? Like, Bill Belichick can criticize you because Bill Belichick has 6 rings. Bill Belichick has done it with you, can do it without you. He can win 10 games with Matt Castle. So I'll be really interested to see how this marriage proceeds.
All right, you're a basketball guy too. I want to get to Game 7 tonight, Clippers and Denver. So, one of the things I'll talk about later is take out dynasties. You know, take out MJ, take out Golden State, Durant. A lot of series go deep. 9 of the last 12 NBA champs have gone 7 games somewhere in the playoffs. Are we just overreacting and realizing nobody ever said the Clippers were great? We think they're the best team in a year of a bunch of good teams, and that Game 7 doesn't – there's no big conclusion that they've been a disappointment.
Well, there's a lot to what makes this different, okay? It's not that they forced a Game 7, right? It's not like, look, if you had to go to Denver and you're playing in the altitude and they hit every three, but you're up, 16 and 19 in back-to-back games? And it wasn't just they're up 19 – in Game 6, because the rest of the world was watching the NFL or maybe the U.S. Open in tennis. Like, they went from up 19 to getting blown out by, I think the final score was 14. They got boat raced in the second half. There's something wrong there. And I don't know whether it's, they got bubble fever where you got, Lou Williams wants to get out and get on the town. Paul George has said it's hurt his mental health. I don't think they have a point guard. I think it's really hard to have a leader who's relatively mute, like a Kawhi Leonard.
Yeah.
And you have no culture of winning there. The Clippers have literally never been past the second round. So you're telling people about something that there's never been accomplished with that name across the front of your chest, which I do think is something.
Yeah.
But the juxtaposition of the Lakers, who smell blood with the Houston Rockets and stomp them out and said, you have no shot
here, yeah,
to the Clippers, who have allowed the Nuggets to hang around.
Yeah. By the way, this sounds ridiculous, but Browns Bengals feels so important for Cleveland on Thursday night. You got a minute left. Like, we're not crazy. Like, that feels like a huge game for Baker Mayfield in Cleveland, right?
Correct. Look, the Bengals are a little bit better than you think. Remember, they get Joe Mixon, who was injured some last year, back. AJ Green is back. The defense has been rebuilt. But Cleveland, personnel-wise, like, if you're doing a pickup game, out of the 22 guys in the field, generally you're going to take about 18 Cleveland Browns, maybe even 19. And Baker looks in the mirror and thinks he's Russell Wilson, and he's got to be Drew Brees, and he's not. This is the type of game you lose on a Thursday night, and all of a sudden it becomes a dumpster fire because Odell's not happy, the defense isn't competing well, and Baker Mayfield gets the blame. Remember, the coach is the first to go, that's gone. Then the GM, next thing to go is the players, specifically the quarterback. Thursday night is massive in Ohio.
Good stuff. Doug Gottlieb, Duggar, Fox Sports Radio after our show. Good talking to you, bud.
Great to catch up. Nice beard.
Thank you. It really is actually, that's the great thing about shortened season. You and I have talked about this. I think the NBA should be about 68 games long. Why? Every game matters. Like, when I was a kid, Van Halen was big. That was a rock band. Van Halen came to Seattle once. That's it. You got him. Like, every third year, Eddie Van Halen and David Lee Roth came into town. You had to go. If Van Halen showed up 4 times a summer and did some Lollapalooza thing, and they're scarcity equals intensity equals urgency. You go down, you're 0-2 if you're Cleveland. The Ravens look like the best team ever created. Pittsburgh's schedule. Go look at Pittsburgh's schedule this morning. It is a lot of fluff. It is a lot of home games against chaotic teams. They get the AFC East this year. You go 0-2, and now Burrow beat you. We got a major problem in the Baker Mayfield camp. Now, I do think, to Doug's point, this is one of these, if you're on a football field and could just, you're picking the teams, there's about 3 guys from Cincinnati I'd take the rest of the Browns roster. But It's a big
This is a must-win game for Cleveland.
It sounds ridiculous. It is a must-win game for the Browns. Comes to reaching your health goals, it's about changing habits, changing your mind. Go to Noom.com/herd, N-O-O-M. The tools you need to change your habits to have lasting change in your life. Herd Hierarchy next, hour two, The Herd.